Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear and the ability to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been thinking about knowing God's will and doing it. And lately I've heard people express concern. Concerns for our nation, for our neighborhood, and for our nation's young people as well. And then lately, over the electronic media, I have heard concerns about the financial and economic state of our nation. And I think about those things anyway, but I've been getting more ideas and information. I've also heard people talk about a civil conflict being potential in the future. So, and then after that, well, I was at my Bible study, and other Christian people had said something about these same concerns. So I've been dwelling on them more than lately. And now, at this time, I'm having more thoughts on these subjects. And so, of course, with more than a few people having these thoughts, it doesn't mean anything's going to happen. It doesn't mean trouble's coming. It just means that the thoughts are there. And so let's think about them. Now also, it's not just to think about the trouble things, but also the blessing things, because those are a big part of life too. And God blesses us, God loves us, and still we have a part to play in it all. We have a nation that we are a part of. So we are to think about the possibilities. What could happen today, tomorrow, next week, next month? Lots of things can happen, and so let's just think about it. In the last year, I have heard plenty of people talking and explaining why in detail some big event was going to happen. It's kind of funny because I listened to these people and the events just never seem to happen, no matter how good their projections are and what they see. Now, some people will even talk about how there's a good, biblically logical argument for some event to happen. And they put forth good arguments. And yet, the events just don't seem to happen. So does that mean they never will? I don't know. But it is interesting when you listen to the people. And I just heard one of these, 10 days ago, talking about the number representations that go on in Daniel and the book of Revelation. And they take from the 1948 birth of Israel. And there's just some pretty good biblical arguments that point to something happening right soon now. But it's just a point of view, and I say just let's be aware of it. Think about these things and be concerned, because they might happen. And we have indicators, and there's so many indicators that I think it's reasonable to look at the what-ifs. Sure, put it in a time frame if you want. Anyway, I've been thinking about reviewing what these are. Of course, I think of the plain old natural disasters, because those things can happen just any time and all sorts of times. For instance, forest fires. They happen, and they can happen any time. Even I think of the winter time, because last winter, that is New Year's of 2018, there were 3 forest fires burning in Southern California. Unheard of at that time of year, forest fires in December, but there it was, forest fires. And so we know they can happen in the good dry weather, summertime. How about volcanoes? Those could happen too. I think of Mount Lassen, Mount Shasta, and those are active volcanoes that we are warned could erupt. But then let's go and look at the Long Valley, California area. That's around Bishop, California, and there is a super caldera there. it's like a big, big volcano. And the United States Geological Survey says that it is unlikely to erupt, but they also have reported earthquake swarms, you know, that small earthquakes, happening at that same location. So we can think about that as being, or wondering what it means. And then there's another super caldera volcano, and that's Yellowstone. For the last 10 or so years, there has been unusual activity at Yellowstone. Extra heat, extra geyser activity, or a reduction in geyser activity, all sorts of things. They also have had earthquake swarms, where small earthquakes occur. There at the hot springs at Yellowstone. And speaking of the hot springs, there is the Steamboat Hot Springs, which is one very, very large geyser that does not erupt with any periodic regularity. And in the last 28 years, it has erupted 10 times. But that now that excludes the last 3 months, because in the last 3 months, it has also erupted 10 additional times. So 10 times in 28 years, and then 10 times in the last 3 months. I would say it could be an indicator, but for what? We're still trying to figure that out. But the earthquake swarms, how can you not think of them? There have been more of them. They are at Mount Rainier and Mount St. Helens as well. And then, of course, there's the Mount Kilauea volcano in Hawaii. So that an active volcano could be a problem, well, that's just obvious. There could be a violent eruption, true enough. But another thing that could happen with that Mount Kilauea volcano in Hawaii is that there could be other activity, and including earthquake activity, and a shift in that volcano cone could mean or could cause a huge landslide, either from above the ocean or below the ocean sea level. And there have been such kind of a landslides that have happened several times in the past. They are huge, and they cause tsunamis to hit the land, either in the eastern direction or the western direction. And that means it could hit California or anywhere else on the west coast of the United States. It's a real potential problem. And if you just think about in the last 10 days, there have been more than 500 earthquakes just right there, Mount Kilauea in Hawaii. So, yes, most of those little earthquakes were little and small, but it just goes to show you there is activity there. So we can talk about to the west, and we can talk about to the east of where we are here in California. If we go way east, we can go to St. Louis, Missouri, and that is where the New Madrid earthquake hit so very hard in 1811 and in 1812. And those earthquakes, they were 7-point-something on the Richter scale. But one of them caused the Missouri River to flow backwards for about a day or so. Pretty big effect it had. And the New Madrid Fault seems to have a really huge earthquake every 200 or 300 years. And it's been 206 years since the last big earthquake along the New Madrid earthquake fault. So, in addition to this, about a year ago, the Missouri had lower water levels upriver from the New Madrid Fault than ever before. So, what do people speculate on? They say, maybe the water from the Missouri River is disappearing into the New Madrid Fault. Yeah, it's a real possibility, but there aren't answers to it, really. So, it's just a question. Lots of questions, and we'll see what that all means. But the water levels have been low for roughly a 100-mile stretch of the Missouri River. And nobody knows why. Yeah, the water from the Missouri River might be disappearing into the fault. It's just a question. Who knows? So back to California, back to Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. That's where the Cascadia subduction zone is. It is a few miles off the coast under the ocean. It is the edge of the Ring of Fire, which is basically around the entire Pacific Ocean. Now, because there are earthquakes and volcanoes in that region, that zone has been, that Ring of Fire area has had active volcanoes and active earthquakes in the past. That's why it's called the Ring of Fire, because of those earthquakes and volcanoes. Well, that just off the coast, the California coast, is where the Juan de Fuca plate and the North American continental plate come together. And every 100 or 500 or 1,000 years, there's a major, major earthquake because of that. And it can create a tsunami. You know, a wall of water, 100 feet or hundreds of feet high. So that tsunami can go either to the east, inland, or to the west, to Japan. In the year 1700, this Cascadia zone, it did have what's called a slip. And that made a tsunami that hit Japan at a height of 5 or 10 feet. That was how high the water level was. And in the North American area, it was 100 or 300 feet high, depending on what evidence you look at. And speaking of evidence, we have to look at the records. The records show that there are tsunamis, but you kind of have to figure out from the geological record what it means. But I think it only makes sense to look at them because they do happen, they have happened, and they will happen. I know there was one example of an earthquake in Alaska in 1946. It was a 7.1 magnitude earthquake, and it created a 20 to 40 foot high tsunami in Hawaii. And there in Hawaii, it killed 159 people in 1946. So tsunamis, they are real. And earthquakes, they are real. And which ones will affect us? Well, we're just trying to figure that out. And those earthquakes, they certainly do happen where the continental plates meet. And that is right at the Ring of Fire. They produce some pretty large and deadly earthquakes. So for instance, of the earthquakes that get produced, they are also, there was the 1989 one, the Loma Prieta earthquake in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was just about a 7 on the Richter scale, and it lasted 15 seconds. From that earthquake, there was 63 people who died. So the earthquakes do happen. And in 1906, there was another earthquake. It was the San Francisco earthquake That was a 7.9 earthquake, and it lasted 1 minute. And from that earthquake, 3,000 people died. Sure, from the earthquake, but also from the fires that ensued after it. I think to look at the earthquakes that have happened is completely reasonable. So let's look at some of those earthquakes. Let's look at the last few earthquakes that have occurred along the Ring of Fire. In 2015, there was Illapel in Chile, and that was an 8.3 on the Richter scale. It hit an unpopulated area, so only 15 people died, but that 2015 Illapel Chile earthquake had 5,000 aftershocks over the next 2 years. So earthquakes can have a pretty major effect, and we ought to remember that. In 2011, there was the Japan Tohoku earthquake, which we think of as the Fukushima earthquake and tsunami. And in that, 18,000 people died. And there was huge, huge property damage. And there was the nuclear reactor that was damaged. I think we all remember seeing that destruction on TV, and how the seawater just kept coming into those cities, coming in and coming into those cities. Well, that 2011 Tohoku Fukushima earthquake was a 9.1 Richter scale earthquake out in the ocean. So along that Ring of Fire, there were those other earthquakes too. I just said the 2015 one. But in 2010, there was another earthquake. It was an 8.8 on the Richter scale in Chile. And it produced a tsunami. 500 people died in that one. And you go back a little more, and there was the 2004 Sumatra earthquake and tsunami. Everyone who saw that happen on TV can remember that one. Well, the 2004 Sumatra earthquake and tsunami was a 9.1 on the Richter scale, and 230,000 people died in that huge event. So that made a big impression on everyone who saw it, including me. And doesn't that make you want to just take a few preparedness steps? Yeah, I think so. Now, I remember other earthquakes in my lifetime, too. I was young, but I still remember going to Alaska a few weeks after the 1963 earthquake. It was a 9.2 on the Richter scale. It was huge. And I remember it was pretty much a 10-foot sheer earth shift right along the fault line. That made a really big impression on me. A 10-foot, well, you know what, I didn't measure it, but I made that impression on me that it was. And the shift in the fault line, it also wrecked a brand new JCPenney stores in Anchorage. I remember that. I saw it. And at that time, there were so many people who were needing help. And at that time, there were so many people who were willing to help others. It was an amazingly good thing to see that people were helping people. People cared, and they were helping one another. So that has happened with all the natural disasters, even in recent years. You see people helping people, and that's a good thing. I witnessed this same kind of compassion during the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was there at the time. I was working, and I saw from a distance those earthquake. The freeway collapses, and the damage that the earthquakes had done. It was significant. people there at the time, they really had compassion for other people. And this lasted for a week or two, where people were really willing to help their neighbors and people just who had needs. And then after that, you know what? It got back to normal again, and people were looking for handouts and money, panhandlers. There were robberies that went on like normal times. So, but we can remember the good things, and the good things were that people were helping people. But it took an earthquake to make that happen. So, for when we do have these great big serious events, it is an important thing to remember that there is an element of compassion that's present. And we want to remember that compassion, and that many people were helping many people. And by the way, that's something which you can think of for your preparedness thoughts. Because, yeah, we want to help our own self get along, but we also want to be sharing and giving the things that we have accumulated, like food, to people who need it. And like fresh water, water is a big one. Well, anyway, your preparedness supplies can be used to help other people, either in the disaster or the people who are fleeing that disaster. And that happens a lot, too. There's lots of opportunities to help, but we want to have something to share. So to have something to share, we have to have a little bit on hand, a little bit extra, that we can give to other people. Well, whatever situation you find yourself in, be sure to use wisdom and use caution to do whatever you do. You still have to remember to stay safe and keep in mind that what you are sharing is from provisions that the grace of God has given you. So use those resources wisely. You don't know how long an emergency would last, and you don't know how long your supplies would have to last. So do things wisely. And I know we have the example of Joseph in the Bible. For the situation he was in, there was a 7 years of good harvest, and that was followed by 7 years of famine. That's in Genesis 41 and following. So we don't know how long our supplies are going to have to last us, but whatever it is, we want to think that maybe they do have to last. Make that grain, make that water or water filter last for a good long time. I do look at biblical history, and I think that God gave us biblical examples so that we could learn from them. And remember, all of the biblical examples are for us to pay attention to. Yes, look at Joseph's 7 good years and the 7 lean years. Remember that during that time, the money in Egypt failed. That's in Genesis chapter 47. And I think that is a worthwhile example to look at, is how the money failed. We get to examine how we apply that understanding, but just give it some consideration, because we don't know what we're going to face in the future, except that it will be a surprise. I think that's pretty obvious. So Joseph was a good example. I think the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25 is another good example. That speaks about preparedness and what happens if you're not prepared. I think that there's another parable about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Verse 29, and that has to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. These are all lessons for us to understand, take away with us, and relate to. one of the things that we just have to remember is the understanding. And where do we get that? We get that understanding from our relationship with God and from hearing from the Holy Spirit of God and being faithful to what we hear. I think reading the Bible is a very good thing to get that understanding. So yeah, obviously I support that one. So let me go back to the earthquake experience. We could have an earthquake experience right here on the coast of the United States. And yes, the Loma Prieta earthquake did some large damage. I was there. I saw that. I was pretty close to one of those fault lines. And it was just sort of like it felt like it wouldn't stop shaking, even though it lasted less than a minute. Yeah, some accounts say it only lasted 15 seconds. And for on the Richter scale, it was only a 7 on the Richter scale. Is that big? Is that little? I don't know. But it was definitely an earthquake, and it definitely caused damage and the loss of life. I think about the damage that it did to buildings and to freeways, how it made the electricity and the regular telephone service stop for days. And that meant you could not buy gasoline, and you could not buy any groceries or anything else from the stores either. So think about that when you think about what would happen if an earthquake happened to us. What would happen if the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake happened? And remember, it's striking a big, big area. It could go from Northern California to British Columbia, Canada. So California, Oregon, Washington, Canada. Yeah, that's a big area to be affected. And the shortages of everything would be so great. So there again, I think of preparedness. Have your supplies in order. The United States Geological Survey and FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Area, have been concerned about this area of the Cascadia subduction zone for years. They calculate that there were the Juan de Fuca plates and the North American continental plates collide, they could produce a 9.2 Richter scale earthquake. That's huge. And I just mentioned the Loma Prieta earthquake, that it was about a 7 on the Richter scale. Now, because the Richter scale is logarithmic, and that means you just kind of add a 0 to each number that is added, that means that a 7 and comparing a 7.0 to a 9.0 earthquake, it's the 9.0 is 100 times greater than the 7.0. It's just so hard to believe. 100 times greater. A 7.0 versus a 9.0. And we had that 7.0 with Loma Prieta, and it caused so much damage. Now, if we were to have a 9.0 Cascadia earthquake, 100 times greater, wow. I think that knowing that there are things in our future that could just be so huge, to me, it only means we should get prepared. Huh, yeah. Now, there's another part to those earthquakes. And this is most impressive, that the Loma Prieta earthquake lasted for 15, maybe 30 seconds. But the experts are saying that a Cascadia earthquake is expected to last between 3 and 5 minutes. That's a huge difference. 15 to 30 seconds compared to 3 to 5 minutes of shaking. Huge, huge difference. So it's just hard to get a conception of what it means, but it's huge. So I've got to experience a little bit about earthquakes, and so I get to be faithful and speak about it and what it has meant in my life and what I have seen. Yeah, huge, huge differences. And so many people have different experiences from me. Yeah, I've had earthquakes. I've had other things happen. But when we have an experience, we want to tell people about it. And how can you not think of the people who have had it appears to be an afterlife experience of heaven, or an afterlife experience of hell. And then they get pulled back into their earthly body, or put back, and they just have to speak about it. The experience was so powerful that they just have to tell what happened to them. Now, those were heaven and hell experiences that some of those people have had. And I've had a little bit of experiences too. And one of them is with the earthquakes. I've seen the earthquakes. I've been in them. I've seen what they've done. And so it just makes me say, it could happen here. It could happen to us. So there again, I get back to that same old message, get prepared. Do something for the just in case. These things, they just must be spoken about. And you have to do something to be prepared so that you can avoid a painful experience and so that you can show love and compassion to other people. That's what the big message is. A part of it is avoiding pain too, showing love. That's what I've seen, and that's what I've had a little study into these areas too. Now, nobody wants to experience a great big huge earthquake, a 3 to 5 minute earthquake, shaking of the ground. No, but these things do happen. They have happened. And let's look back at the one that happened to the settlers around the St. Louis area in 1811 and 1812. That happened at nighttime. And if you remember, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have anything to see what was going on. So they had to just deal with the shaking, being shaken around and having, it seemed to them like it was the end of the world. And there were plenty of people who got knocked unconscious during that time. And they woke up later. And the people who stayed conscious during it, and there were plenty of them who thought they would soon be dead. That's what the written reports say. They expected that to be the end of the world. It was so violent and shaking, and it was at night. So they dealt with it. They went through that experience, and you can too. Whatever is coming, we have to remember that God did create us for a time such as this. God knew what was going to happen, what will happen in the future, and He put us right here in this time and in this place for a time such as this. And we want to be faithful to God for and through whatever is coming. We want to acknowledge that God knows the best. His knowledge and His wisdom is better than ours. And so we want to say yes, Lord, to whatever it is that He has put in front of us. Because He knows we can deal with it. We can get through it. And we can show the love of God during these times. He's put us here so that we can get through whatever the circumstances are in our life. And sure, we don't know what those specific challenges and circumstances are, But we have a mind and a will and emotion, and we want to recognize that these things that we call ours, including our possessions, are really ultimately God's. He gave them to us, and he owns them. Even though we can take control of them, the point is we want to understand the perspectives that are involved and say yes to God. We want to yield all of it to God. And sure, we have to struggle to achieve some of the things. We have to struggle to get through some of the difficulties. And we do that right until the moment of death. We deal with things. Sometimes it's great trauma, and sometimes it's just ordinary living. But we want to recognize the importance of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ for ourselves and for other people. And maybe we are in a position where we talk about it. And maybe we're in a position where we live and we learn as we go through life. Now, whatever it is, we just keep going with it, and we say, yes, Lord. Yeah, we want to be careful that we express what we know to be said in the Bible, and we want to be careful to not say what the Bible doesn't say. It's a little bit hard sometimes because we want to put our own understanding into what we read. And we just have to be really be careful of what we express to other people. Sure, we seek understanding and we seek discernment, and we apply it to ourselves and we apply it to others. Sure, all of these things, but we have to be so careful to not judge someone else's eternity, their eternal destiny. Well, yeah. Love is a big thing in the Bible. It's a great big theme. And I think about 1 Corinthians 13. It talks about that. One of the things there it says at the end of that chapter is we look through a glass darkly, which means our understanding is limited. So we can learn the Bible and understand things in different situations, but we want to be careful on how we apply what we know and use wisdom throughout all of it. And we remember that as we read the Bible, we get greater and greater understandings, spiritual understandings and physical understandings. It applies to real life situations. The Bible contains principles and practical advice, and that includes political advice and military considerations, human relations and hospitality, and even about eating and, wow, yes, even going to the bathroom. That was in Deuteronomy 23:13. And it says to cover what we leave. That's in Deuteronomy. They said it very delicately, but that's what it's about. The Bible speaks sometimes about very specific circumstances. And sometimes the Bible speaks about general principles. It says a lot. And we pay attention to the examples, and we try to extend our understanding into other areas. I know one of the examples I have used in the past is Exodus with Moses. He was told to take a census of the people, and it was a good thing to do because God told Moses to take a census of the people, and God blessed it. That was in Exodus 30:12. But what happened later in 1 Chronicles at 21, the first part, it talks about David. He took a census, but he wasn't told by God to take a census, and God said there would be a punishment for him taking a census. Did I Did I say that came from 1 Chronicles 21? That's where it came from. 21:1, the first few verses. So it's examples. All these things are examples of what we should do. Sometimes why we should do things too. And I think it's pretty important to look at the intents of our heart. We have to make sure that the intentions of our heart is to do the will of God. Because we can fool ourselves and we can fool others by telling people why we did something, but we cannot fool God. No, God knows, and God does not change. No, He knows everything. It talks about, in Hebrews 13, it talks about Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. God does not change. So here we are living in this world with uncertainty and a God that doesn't change. So I think it just is a good thing to read that Bible. Ha! Don't I say that? Yes, I do. Things change around us. The world, the physical world changes. Our bodies change. Our political relations change. Structures of things and laws change. Technology changes. Society changes. But our God does not change. What is written does not change. All these things are for us to learn and to do. It's Psalm 18. It talks about God being the rock. God, Jesus, Yahweh, Elohim. He is the rock. He is my stronghold and my deliverer. And I think that's a pretty good thing to remember. Let's see. I started talking on this broadcast about how ordinary people or older people or stable people in my Bible study were talking about how society is changing, that there are uncertainties that we have that never used to exist. There are precarious situations, and it is dividing our society, dividing what people think, dividing where we stand. And there are quite a few people who are observing that our country is being divided. Really, it's along fundamental lines, what our fundamental beliefs are. And I've seen nations around the world that have changed. I've seen it through history. I've seen a little bit on the ground, too. But these things that are changing, that indicate changes, are showing up in our very own country. So I have questions, and I wonder what it's going to turn into. I see lots of things that just indicate, what if this, what if that? Or I might call them maybes. There's lots of maybes that are occurring. And yes, things do always change, but the nature of the changes is getting different from what it's accelerating. The changes, the seriousness of them are accelerating, and they're affecting more areas of our lives. It's economic is always one, political is another, and still we want to do something to maintain God's order and social order in our world. And we have to remember to speak up when we can, because we still have a voice. We can still say something. We can still affect the people around us, and we ought to do that. We ought to vote when we can. Whatever it's for, remember the possibilities and how they affect different things. Voting for propositions, voting for presidents. We might have a voice somehow in who a Supreme Court justice might be, or vote for a judge or a sheriff. All of these things, everything makes a difference, and we want to be involved so that we can have wonderful possibilities in our future. Just wonderful. And that means we have to engage in life. And that engagement can be done with our direct efforts, when we talk, when we make our positions known, to help people to consider different ideas. We can also do it by sending financial support to different causes or different people. All these things are important as we interact with people, as we go through life. Oh yeah, and a really big one is to pray continuously. For that, I like to read Ephesians 6:18. And it goes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That means we apply ourselves, we see what's going on, and we pray. Pray. Pray for God's goodness and God's will to prevail in the world. If we don't, who knows where we could end up? Who knows where our country could end up? There's just so many possibilities. There's man-caused possibilities, and there are natural disaster kind of possibilities. Lots of things can happen. So it just changes all sorts of things. And there is also the possibility of radical movements happening in our own very own nation. We see more and more people who have anarchical tendencies. Just things are changing in our country. There have always been people who've been anarchists, but it's becoming more of a regular occurrence. And in our country, nationwide, there are factions and groups who want to change our form of government. It's away from what we have and towards a progressive, socialist, communist form of government. They want to see a change. And, of course, that concerns me because I've grown up with the blessing of freedom, and so have you. We want to protect what we have. A part of the protection of society includes the protection of our financial stability and our retirement programs. You know, one of the themes of any social change, and that includes socialists, progressives, communists, they talk about promising all sorts of things. But do they come through on the promises? No. They just promise anything you want to hear. Continually, consistently, they promise and promise and promise, but nothing happens, or bad changes happen. I remember when I attended university, there was a professor who handed out propaganda newspapers, and they were written in English for every one of his classes. He handed them out. Sometimes you got one from, well, every communist and socialist country that you can imagine. And we read them. He let us read them, and if we really liked them, he let us take them with us. But it was very interesting to see what happened in those countries. And I became very grateful to learn what was going on in those socialist or communist countries. Very grateful to know, and very grateful that I was in the United States of America and not in one of those other countries. They had things that were just big news items, like they purchased several big tractors, or they were building a nice but plain old school, or they just had started a school lunch programs. And these things were just heralded as a national celebration of how good their country was and how good their communist socialist system was working. Yeah, but I was so very glad that I could enjoy the benefits of a capitalist nation where prosperity has been encouraged and heightened by our Christian beliefs. And that included honesty and work value, work ethic. These are our Christian traditions. They are our Christian moral values. And they come through strong when you look at other countries or when you go traveling. You can see where the benefits of our history has affected us today. I know one of the people who I from time to time listen to is Joel Skousen. And I've been aware of him for a few years now, and he talks about what is coming from a military and a governmental point of view. He's retired, but he has lots of military and government contacts in his background. Security has become his focus. And he talks with and deals with the very rich people and as well as corporations. He's a very thoughtful man. He considers domestic and international concerns and connections. One area that he talks about that so many people don't is the planned military programs, the ones that are funded and scheduled for completion. He notices what's going on in China and in Russia and in the United States. So his examination is different from so many other people's. And if I may summarize him, which I'm going to try to do, it's to say that the Russian and the Chinese programs are in place to develop systems to challenge the United States systems and even to be superior in about the year 2024. And at that time, those other two countries would have a superior military capacity to the United States, and that includes the area of nuclear war. Well, it's pretty hard to fact-check what he talks about. It's hard to get another analysis. But he is so thoughtful and has such good explanations when he's talking that I just have to remember that he just might know what he's talking about. He sure sounds like he does. And what he talks about is that nuclear war is probably what we will have to deal with because it is so widely developed and so widely understood what its abilities and its limitations are. So he considers nuclear war as a real possibility between nations. Now, that's what he sees, and just because he's such a thoughtful man and has looked into this, I think it's worthwhile to pay attention to what he says. But I like to listen to all sorts of people, and other people, they mostly see that domestic terrorism is going to be our next battle, the battle which our country has to deal with. And we can look that those have been happening in the past years. In 1993, we saw that might have been the start of the big world terrorism in the United States with the first World Trade Center bombing. So that was some kind of a terrorism. 1995 was the Oklahoma City bombing. And then everybody knows about the 2001 collapse of those two World Trade Center towers and the 47-story office building a few hundred yards away from the World Trade Centers. No plane hit that one, but it collapsed the same day in the same way as the two towers did. You might remember that a few months back I mentioned a certain Major General Albert Stubblebine III, and he was U.S. Army, recently retired. I mentioned him because he said that the Twin Trade Towers in New York City could not have collapsed in the manner which the government report said they had collapsed. Pretty interesting to have such a high-ranking person say that. Well, his family was shocked and saddened to learn of his death a few months, like 4 or 5 months after he made that public statement. It's just interesting what happens to people who speak out, isn't it? Interesting. So I do think about the possibility of terrorism, and I can't help but wonder why in the first half of 2018 the emergency broadcast system had 4 mysterious alerts. There was the one for Hawaii, January 2018, and it said, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. So that was one. The second one was February 6th. A tsunami warning that was in effect for the East Village of New York until 9:28 a.m. The third was May 11th. That there was a tsunami warning for Alaska. And the fourth was May 29th. Salem, Oregon said, civil emergency in this area until 11:28 p.m. Be prepared for action. Or prepare for action. So I think, what are we supposed to think when we hear about these things? I can only say, think about preparedness. It's good to be prepared for the just in case. We could have a health matter arise. We could have an accident occur. We could have a job loss. Nothing wrong with being prepared with the basics. What are those basics? Spiritual orientation. Important. Water, food, things to do with heat and exposure or shelter. And then there's injury, which is medical. And to keep your mind clear and a well-functioning body. And don't forget that will to survive. All these things are the essential elements. Keep them in mind as you consider what your preparedness measures can be. And that includes the skill and knowledge. Don't forget that one. But think about those basics and take steps to get them done. I want to thank you for listening today. Remember the goodness of God. God has so much goodness for us to share and to be a part of. So we want to remember to love God and that He loves us. So remember, for any of these things, including my preparedness pamphlet, write me with a self-addressed stamped envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen again on www.christtoday.org. So until next week, thank you for listening, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. The Holy Spirit, burn inside.